Hello, Junior.
Hello, who's this?
It's Blacknell calling. Steve Blacknell, how are you?
How you doing, mate?
How you been? Strange times,
I think. Very strange times, mate. I've been very well. I was away at the beginning of it and came back in March, the end of March, right in the lockdown period of it. And at first, I think it's like everybody. You don't know where you're going and what's going on, to be quite honest. But as time has gone along, it's been actually very, very good for me. It's been good to be able to spend time with the family. And, you know, I've got a little granddaughter who's like one, and she's like just adorable. Not had a chance to actually speak to and hug her and do things like that, you know. So the whole of this period has been pretty much good in terms of family and also for writing for me as well, just being able to stop and be able to write some songs. So, no, I'm not complaining. I hate the fact of what we're in, but...
Yeah. You know, no, I suppose it's a bit, it's different from being a writer, I suppose, because someone like myself who, I just sort of work and live with people in London, I don't have hobbies and stuff. It must be a kind of relief to get time to write, I suppose. I've never thought of it like that.
Yes, just sometimes because sometimes you're just always out, Stephen. You're doing different bits and pieces in terms of, like, you might be recording with somebody, or you're not writing, but you're arranging in terms of vocals or whatever else. But yeah, because of all of that, you write when you get that moment to write or that inspiration to write. But stopping and being able to just concentrate on what you would like to say as the next project and how you'd like to do that, and have the time to actually start figuring it out and looking at it a bit more in depth than you would, than you would normally. Brilliant for that. Brilliant.
Yeah, and of course it brings into focus things like actually going down the shops, I suppose, things like that, and things that you we used to do a bit, and they seem a bit strange now. But
it is a bit strange walking into a shop and you've got to wear a mask, and you know, I fully understand all of that, but it's a bit kind of odd when you consider that, like, you know, in places like Japan and you know, places like that, where China, where there's a lot of smog and they wear the mask because of the smog, and we're wearing the mask and I don't fully 100% know why.
Well, it's good for ugly people, I suppose, but you know,
it'll help out.
But don't you miss all the hubbub of town and stuff? I mean, you're a lot, you know, I mean, I miss it greatly. I really do. I really miss all that hubbub and stuff that they call the business, you know?
Yeah, well, I think we all do. I don't think any of us are finding this, as much as I said it's really good. We are in a business that thrives on us moving around and being a part of and having discussions and talking and seeing people, opposed to speaking to them like we are now. It's like, it's nice to be able to interact with somebody and see them and talk to them. I miss all of that. I miss the going in the studio with other people and having fun inside there and having a really good laugh, and then feeling that energy and that fun that we're having transmitted onto vinyl or onto a CD or, you know, whatever. But I miss all of that. I miss the live work the most, though, to be honest.
I bet, yeah. Do you know what's interesting? I mean, I've known you through the years a bit, and I was just looking, you know, the other day, just doing a bit of research or something, and I never, ever knew, and I'm stupid, I didn't know that you was in Lynx with David Grant. I didn't know that. So is that how you I don't know, is that how you started? Because I don't know.
Well, in terms of how I started, I started out with doing little records here and there, being asked, people heard me sing and would ask me to you know, do a record or whatever. And I did two records, and both of them were successful in different countries, but I didn't know until I did, Mama used to say. So the first one was a song called Nice and Slow, which was a cover of a Jesse Green record, and it went to number one in Australia. And then the other one was a track that I did called Get Up and Dance, Hot Up and Heated, and that went to number one in France. And then after doing that, it was the second one that started the whole ball rolling for me and was becoming a hit in America on its, like, Bubblers charts at the time. And I was in England. I got a phone call from Lynx's manager. I knew David and Sketch, but I got a phone call from their manager who wanted to have a chat, was saying that Lynx were going to go on the road. Would I, you know, be a part of the whole Lynx experience and be a part of the band? So I thought that would be good fun. And also it would be a learning experience for me because, you know, I had no idea of how big Lynx were as a band until we went on the road and found out that we were bigger than Duran Duran. We were bigger than all of those bands at that particular time. We played 7 nights at the Dominion and matinees. So we did 2 shows. Yeah, we're the only band, the only band to ever do it, which was 2 shows. A night for 7 nights down at the Dominion. No other band's been able to do that. So we were breaking records at the time. They were, you know, the band was huge at that particular time. The tour was monster, and it was great for me because, as I said, I was learning about the business I was coming into. And in a sense, it's like, what a way to learn. You know, you get into a band and, like, you put your records out. You've had these... And then you're putting your record out. And when you put your record out, then you're going to find out about what went before, the things that you did before and how. So it was incredible. It was a really incredible time for me because it was like I had no idea about the 2 singles that went out before through independent companies that they had done so well until I went to Australia and when I went to France. And people were shouting out for it. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, I didn't even know that they knew it. So that, I was thinking more about Mama Used to Say in the present and didn't look at the past, you know?
Yeah, but I had no idea, literally. I mean, I've known David Grant through the years.
Yeah.
But I didn't, that explains why he's so big-headed, I think. I mean, because of Lynx, I had no idea. But I tell you what's interesting, that I always find, talking to people who have big hits in other places, right, and yet nothing on your own doorstep. So you're like, you're big in Melbourne and bugger all in Basildon.
But that's, I think in a sense, you know, to be quite honest with you, at first I used to feel really bad about that, that, like, you know, seriously, because I put the record out, Mama Used to Say came out in England first and did nothing at all. Nobody played it. Everybody was slating it, too rock and roll, too this, too that. And then it goes to America and we do one of the first remixes ever done, right? We get one done and it comes back. It's a huge hit, as was in America. It comes back to Britain on a remix and everybody's, oh, yeah, I knew it was going to work. Now, you know, it's got a remix on it. Yeah. And it sounds like, oh, yeah, it's going to, I knew that, you know. And it's a bit like, you know, people's nose went out of joint because it became such a huge record in America and the rest of Europe. And it was like Britain was getting it last. And in actual fact, they got it first. And
then How funny.
And then you go on from there and you find that your records are more successful in various other countries, which means that when you're at home, you can be yourself. You're not on show as such. Whereas when your record's huge and stuff, it's like you're on show all the time. And, you know, I don't mind that when you're in the actual country and you're doing what you're doing. But I do like being at home and just hanging out with friends and family and just being Junior.
Just being Junior. That sounds like an album title, mate. Just being Junior. Yeah.
Just being Junior.
But what do you like most? I mean, do you like performing or just sitting there writing studiously?
Studious stuff. No, I think all of us, if you're really in this, it's stage. It's being performing live, connecting with a live audience, and their energy you feed off of, as they feed off of yours. That the whole thing of that whole being together as one. You know, I remember going to Portugal with my boys to go and see England play, and we were all in the stand, and we were outside before the game and different parts of Newcastle, Sunderland, but we're all playing football in this huge square. And I lost my son, couldn't find him anywhere, right? The littlest one. And everybody I spoke to, and I said to them, like, oh, listen, have you seen a little black kid? He's only about, what, 10 at the time, and they'd be like, "What, the one who can really play football? He's over that side. He's up." Everybody was so willing to be as one. It was one of the best feelings in the world for me at that time. And it's that kind of thing, you know, when you're playing in front of an audience, you're all one, and you want people, you want to see people smiling. You want to see that what you've done for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, what you've done is alleviated that person's whatever is going on in their life, and they've just come straight here to be at one and just enjoy. And you know, that smile, right? I can't wait to get back out there, basically, to be honest with you, mate. Just to see the people, be able to talk to the people and get that feedback. There's nothing like it. You can always make records and they're great, and we all enjoy doing them. I enjoy writing and all of that side, but I got in it to play live. I got in it to go up on a stage and make people feel something from what I'm doing. And but of course, that's still the most important thing.
The thing is, that's all gone. Well, this year's been weird, 2020. And have you been a Zoom person?
Everybody's Zoom on Zoom. Yes, I've been on a few Zoom conferences and done a few Zoom interviews as well. But as I said, it's still... Technology is fantastic, but it can actually take you away from people, the interaction with people.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I just kind of, that side of it, I'm not a fan of, because I like to be able to see people, have a laugh with people. If it's going to sit down, we're going to have a drink or whatever else. But, you know, I've seen people do Zoom things where, you know, it's like 10 people and they've all got a glass. Oh, we're all drinking together. And it's like, yeah, right.
No, you can't. And I mean, how can you have 2,000 friends you've never met?
Exactly.
I mean, that's insane. Followers, friends, you know, it is all quite artificial to me. I don't really understand it. I mean, I've watched a lot of telly. Do you watch TV and stuff? I mean, I'm addicted to Talking Pictures, that old channel.
The old channel.
That's for the elderly. So you get, you've got Robin Hood and Sir Lancelot things on, you know, if you're cracking on a bit, you know.
I hear you. I've got to be honest. I'm not overly a TV person. I think like how you've got that channel, that's great, because it's not being, you're not being, what's the word? You're not having your mind tampered with through discussions about things when people are talking about something that they don't even know about.
Do I agree, mate? Totally. they just say the best way to not to get depressed over the news is don't bloody watch it.
Exactly.
Because it's just like, you know, who knows? We know nothing. So just get on with it. I'd rather watch Robin Hood. At least you know that, you know, that's pure fiction. You know.
Exactly.
That's but anyway, you're in good shape. Health's good.
Health's
working
good.
Working,
as I said, I'm still working. I've got a new album coming out. It's called Everything Set. It's a reggae project which I got involved with. Well, not got involved with. I actually started a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now. And it's finished. We have like various features on there, from a Luciano to a Stephen Marley to a Janet Kay, Carol Thompson. Names that have been really, really, you know, influential in reggae music over the last, I would say, 40 years, to be quite honest. So I've done that, and basically, when that comes out, I'll start working, because I have been writing on another junior album, which will be more down the lines of what I do normally in terms of the music style and stuff. So I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward with a lot of optimism, and hopefully the venues will open back up and people will be able to get back out and do what they used to do, and that's like just have fun and enjoy themselves.
I'm with you. And I've got to ask you, because I never met your family, but right. Your son, he's not called Junior Junior, is he?
No, everybody used to say that.
Sorry.
It's all right.
I'll
let you off.
Oh, dear. I thought I was the first. Bugger it.
No, his name's Carl.
Right? Okay. All right. Yeah. Even and I thought I was the first to say that. Jeez. No, no, no,
no, no, no. Everybody. Oh, is his name Junior Junior? No.
so much for Clever Blacknell. All right, mate. Well, listen. We'll have a beer soon. You take care.
Definitely.
And lots of love to the family and Junior Junior not. All right.
Okay. All right. Vice versa, mate. You take care.
Take care. Cheers, Junior. Bye.
Bye. Ta-da.